Good morning and welcome to another exciting episode of Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. Good to have your company today as we find out why the business of health is one of the fastest growing industries. We'll look at a few different angles of health. We'll look at day spas, we'll look at practitioners, we'll look at the growth of the wellness industry, which is really just a rebrand of health. We look at health expos, we look at supplements, we look at international marketing, all sorts of different angles today. So if you're interested in health, the health industry, and also the health of your business, it is really critical listening today. Today's trend-setting show is brought to you by our friends at eView Real Estate. And my regular special co-host today is marketing thought leader, Darren Woolen.
Thanks, Jenny. I'm in Jackie.
Darren Woolley, how are you?
I'm very well, Jackie.
That's good. Now, you've just come from, you're a little bit weary today because yesterday was the Australian Marketing Institute AGM and last night were the National Awards. How'd that go?
Yes, the Marketing Excellence Awards were a terrific night. We had over 400 marketers at the Grand Hyatt in Melbourne, celebrating the best marketing in Australia.
And I loved, we were chatting earlier, I loved your comment that the judging is set up, that it judges on the work of the marketing, not so much on reputation of the agency submitting it.
Because people will feel that advertising and marketing is probably the second most self-congratulatory industry.
After
the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, these awards are all about the work. And when you see the winners, you know it's the best work, not the best reputations that win.
Was there anything particularly last night that stood out so amazingly from everyone else?
There was lots of great campaigns and great strategies and great work. But I think Just for Pets, which is a brand that consolidates all the independent pet store owners around the country into a single brand, was the outstanding campaign and in fact won the highest campaign award for the year.
Ah, that's good. That's another growth area. Actually, that's an idea for a show, talking about the growth of pets. That's growing. That more people are getting pets now, but that's another discussion for another day. Now, you've got a background as a scientist, haven't you? Before you became a marketing thought leader.
That's right. I worked in medical research at the Royal Children's Hospital here in Melbourne for 6 years.
Yeah, so you've got an interest in this topic today, I would imagine.
And apart from a self-interest, which is wanting to live as long as possible.
Yes.
The true baby boomer.
Yeah. And you just got back from China. What were you doing over there?
2 weeks of holiday, actually. I took my 80-year-old father, who lives in Ballarat and hadn't been to China before, so it was quite an eye-opener for him.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk a little bit about exporting Australian health ideas and supplements to China. We'll talk about that a bit later in the show. But I want to welcome our first guest. She's a friend of the program, and she's organising the Peninsula Health and Sustainability Expo. Good morning, Jo Shutt.
Good morning, Jackie.
Now, tell us about this Peninsula Health and Sustainability Expo. How many years has it been running?
This is actually the fifth year, and it's in two sleeps.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is.
It's this Sunday.
This Sunday?
The Mornington Race Course.
Okay. Yeah. And is it free to get into? Or?
It's actually $3 entry.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah, and $5 for couples. So we try and make it affordable because we want as many people to come and see all the great exhibitors and be involved as possible.
And is it growing in those 5 years?
It is, yeah. We tend to, I think, you know, the brand itself is growing as well. So it's got a really good reputation as being a place for lots of, lots of businesses with lots of integrity that come together from across the peninsula, because it's all about helping people be healthier, happier and live naturally. Our tagline is naturally inspired living. So.
Okay. Now, it's interesting, it's health and sustainability. Why did you put those two elements together?
I think it's really, and that's really developed over the last couple of years that the expo's been going, because I see that as a big trend, and the peninsula is such a strong focus on sustainability, and it's really great to look at what we do for ourselves and our bodies, but it's not pointless, but it's also just as important to do that for our environment. So, you know, yeah.
I think that's really interesting because, especially in China, there's this huge awareness of how the environment actually impacts on the individual. And so the idea of a sustainable, clean, secure environment is so essential to actually wellness and health.
Absolutely. Yeah.
When you say it like that, it's a bit of an obvious link. When I first sort of gone health and sustainability, how can that actually be together? But it does make sense. Now, in the 5 years you've been doing it, what trends have you noticed, or how has it changed? How has the industry evolved?
I think there's a lot of practitioners who are spending as many hours as possible in their clinic, and they're finding that in doing that, there are so many hours that you can set, that you can actually spend one-on-one with people. So a lot of people are deciding to do workshops and, you know, have a bigger impact on a larger amount of people, as well as things like online training courses and webinars and things like that, which allows them to reach a more far-reaching community. So, you know, you might be able to help people on the other side of the world or the other side of the city without having to be in the same room as them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Now, the type of person that goes into the health industry, and I'm going to absolutely be stereotypical here, you'll love this, Darren, has always been sort of a bit of a hippie element to it, that health side of things. And from my perspective, it has changed a bit now that it's a lot more professional type people and older people as well. And there's not always so much, you know, the Gen Y, but the Gen Xs and baby boomers, it's almost a second career they're going back into health. Is that been your experience?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with the networking that we do with women in business, there's quite a lot of people who are feeling really unsatisfied with their corporate career, and they're just, you know, seeing that what they're doing is not necessarily helping people or having a big impact. And then the health industry is a fantastic place to get into to be able to do that. And you're right, it's definitely not the whole image of the hippie or the people that are coming into the health industry are much more mainstream, which is fantastic, because when I first started this expo, the vision was to help mainstream holistic health. So, you know, to help it become more of an everyday thing, and your first port of call for a health problem would hopefully be to go to a chiropractor or a naturopath or a nutritionist and, you know, do that alongside your GP sort of thing.
Darren, I think there's been a real attitudinal shift, hasn't there, from the health perspective, and Joe mentioned it becoming more mainstream, that, you know, conservative average people will go to a naturopath and combine Eastern and Western medicine now. And there's a real mixture of that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, your comment before about the hippie was, it was alternative medicine and health was seen as attached to spirituality,
yes,
which we've seen a move to the mainstream, because even, you know, today many of these services are covered by health insurance. You know, private health insurance cover this. So, yeah. I mean, what more of a signal that this is now accepted mainstream than insurance companies will actually provide a benefit for embracing a holistic approach to your wellness rather than just simply getting a diagnosis and treatment for an illness.
I think that's been reflected in mainstream society, following on from that, in, from an advertising perspective. Remember the Dove campaign now, where they're using real people as opposed to size 000 models. And songs, you know, that song All About the Bass, you know, it was all about, you know, I'm bigger than the average girl, but mum says that, what's the word? Something about, you know, the boys like girls with all the right junk in all the right place or something like that.
Well, and in marketing, you know, and you mentioned it before, it's about wellness. It is not so much this focus on curing illness as avoiding, preventing illness. Yeah. And it's about self-acceptance, and being healthy is much more important than being skinny or fitting some stereotype. And so I think all of this is working together to get people to accept and focus on what is available to me out of like a palette of possible treatments and therapies and ways of living that will deliver that to me.
And there's a new advertising campaign at the moment about not having sugar. So apparently Australia has the top have the most soft drink consumption in the world, which is extraordinary in itself. And it's this whole campaign. Have you seen the advertising campaign for that?
I haven't seen the ad, but I saw
it's about reducing sugar.
There's a whole feature.
Oh, there's
film.
A film as well.
Yeah, a documentary about the fact that, you know, sugar has such a huge impact on our bodies. And, you know, in the last 50 years, the high level of hidden sugar within the processed foods that we eat, it's incredibly difficult from a marketing perspective for advertisers that are producing these products to actually keep themselves relevant to an audience that's become so aware about wellness.
But there are fads too. So we all get caught up in this, I suppose, you know, that's the bad side of marketing, if I dare say so. But we get caught up in this fads of things like, remember a while ago it was all about have low fat, and now they're saying, no, high fat, you need your fat. Now it's about sugar. And so you go, well, what do I do? Is it good for me? Is it bad for me? What should I shouldn't be doing?
And this is where, you know, people are becoming cynical about marketing messages because they, let's be honest, the reason for marketing is to best position your product in a way that's desirable. It's not necessarily the best place to get a holistic view of the issues. And so people are looking for that. And I think that's also driving this trend towards mainstream alternative options.
There you go. Yeah. So, Joe, we've gone on from a completely different tangent, but we do that here on Taking Care of Business. Will you stick around and we'll talk to you a bit more about the expo on the other side of this break?
Love to.
Great. We'll be right back after this. I've still got my health today. I'm feeling quite well. Thank you for listening as we talk about the health of business. That was Bette Midler. And the business of health, it's interchangeable in a way. Our next guest is a chiropractor and a performance coach and a few other bits and pieces. We're just talking off air. I think he needs one title for his personal brand, but we're going to talk about that with him today. He's quite a fascinating person. His name is Ben Carvosso. Welcome.
Hi,
you're
Jack.
A Taking Care of Business virgin.
I am,
yeah,
and excited
to,
about being that.
Here. Yeah. Are you involved with the expo?
I am. I've had a history with Joe in helping promote the expo, et cetera, and Peninsula Chiropractic United, who's one of the organisations I belong to, is going to be an exhibitor at the expo.
Right. Now, let's just clarify, what is it you do? So, you're a chiropractor, tick.
Yes. So, I have a trade as a chiropractor. I would probably call myself an entrepreneur. Because I started off as a chiropractor 25 or 7 years ago, and then about 10 years into that, built my own radiology company, owned it, didn't work in it, but owned the company. And then in more recent years, I've become a performance coach. So I've taken the skills of being a practitioner, added the skills of being an entrepreneur and running a business, and now I coach business owners or entrepreneurs about the mindset of business.
So you use the sort of the psychology side of business.
Yeah, I talk about it's not what you need to do in business, whether it be adjusting a spine as a chiropractor or giving a herbal supplement or taking an x-ray. It's who you need to be as a practitioner or a business owner, the mindset you need to bring to it.
Is that not taught at university when you're doing your chiropractic degree?
Zero. Zip.
Really?
Yeah,
you think it's odd, isn't it? It always gets me a bit cross because you're dealing with people. You're not dealing with machines. You're not fixing machines. You're fixing bodies and people. And the mind's a key part of that, and they don't touch on that.
No. We've all been to practitioners. I think that, you know, we see that they're obviously intelligent and they're professional and they have incredible skill, but their bedside manner sucks.
Yeah.
So and when it comes to purchasing, and Darren would know, we buy often the person, not the product. We buy the person that's selling us the product.
Mm.
And so when people have a health experience, it's often the practitioner that's the most important bit, not necessarily the product that he may be eventually selling, whether it be a drug or an adjustment.
Well, like anything, Dan, you've got to believe in it.
Absolutely. You know, one of the interesting things for me in the whole wellness and health area is how little they overtly market and position brands.
Mm.
It's come from the old medical days of, you know, they didn't want to go out touting themselves. And so all these allied professions are actually almost hesitant to really embrace the opportunities of marketing brand strategy to build it. They still rely on referrals and word of mouth and the sort of more traditional without even managing that.
I find that a lot, actually, because as holistic health practitioners, people feel that there's a real conflict of interest between wanting to help somebody and needing to market yourself, because there's that whole you know, not wanting to be salesy. So what we try and do is encourage them to build a strong brand and know what your values are and communicate that through your brand and become the expert, and then people will attract to your brand.
That's why one of the opportunities now is with inbound content marketing, because this is an area where your audience is hungry for information. And so to be able to provide content that is informative, it is factual, it's helpful, is a way of building your own thought leadership and credibility within your category. And then to use social media to actually engage with your audience. You know, it always surprises me when people talk about marketing and selling at the same time, because the two are different professions, part of the same ultimate goal, which is to build businesses and build profitability. But selling in the old-fashioned format is not what marketing's about.
No, absolutely, and they do get confused.
So, Ben, when you're doing your mindset or performance coaching, are you mainly dealing with health practitioners?
I have health practitioners as my clients, but entrepreneurs. So it's a whole range from real estate agents to financial advisors to health practitioners to seminar conference organisers.
Is Joe a client?
Yeah.
I can see Joe nodding her head looking. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
oh, you were.
I did about 12 months with Ben, I think it was.
Yeah, which
would have been maybe 12 months ago. But it was huge in, you know, building my confidence as a business owner and entrepreneur, and looking at, there's so many decisions that you need to make on a day-to-day basis. And if you're struggling with those, it has such a big impact on your family life and your business life, and they're also interlinked. So, yeah.
I love a mate told me years ago that you're always happy in business if you're making money. The purpose of being in business is to make money. And when you're in business, whether we like it or not, you're there to sell.
Actually, Darren disagrees with you.
I strongly disagree with that. In fact, the best quote I ever heard is that we don't live to breathe, but we have to breathe to live. And in business, we don't go into business to make a profit, but we have to make a profit to be in business. So I don't think the purpose of business is to just make a profit. It would be like saying my only purpose in life is to breathe. And so I think it's important from a brand point of view that every business have a purpose beyond making a profit, because that's the reason people are attracted to us. No one is attracted to someone who's just there to make money. That's where you get the attitude of I'm having to sell to my clients rather than actually enrich their experience of life or you know, their experience of your business.
Yeah, I agree with you completely.
Okay. Oh.
And
oh, that's too easy. Come on.
And
come on.
And I have not met anyone in business that is happy when they're not making money.
Oh, because you're dying. You're basically holding your breath.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be the reason that you're in business.
No, it shouldn't be the only reason, but it should be one of the reasons.
It's a driver.
And I think when it comes to selling, and I love this term that the real estate industry has is a buyer's advocate. That instead of seeing yourself as a seller, see yourself as a buyer's advocate. Recognize what your buyer wants and be an advocate for the buyer. See if you're a match to the buyer. And if you are, one of the things I coach my clients is you have a duty to have them then buy your product. If you're a match, it's a must that they buy your product. The other side of it, though, is if you're not a match, if you recognize that you're not, you also have a duty to say, hey, we're not a match.
I'm going to take that argument between Darren and Ben a little bit further, and I'm going to weigh in on it, whether making money in business is the reason. Take it a step back. And I think the key is to ask that if you are running your own business or you are working in business, to ask the person why they are in business, what is driving them, what motivates them. I think it's too much to generalize that everyone is in business to make money, because some people are in business for different reasons, and how much money you make can dictate that. So if someone's main reason is I'm in business because I want to make a lot of money, I want to make $3 million within 2 years, that's their objective, that's their aim, fine. So that's going to then dictate how they go about doing that. Other people might say, you know what, I just want to make $100,000 a year because that covers my living cost, or $50,000 a year, or I'm happy to break even because I'm in business for these other reasons. And I think going back a step further and asking them what's driving them and why they are in business is the key.
I think that was the point I was trying to make before with holistic health practitioners having that conflict of interest, because they don't feel like they want to profit off people's illness. They want to help them get better and be well. So, but at the same time, you've got to make a living and you've got to survive. So there's that, you know, how do I do that without disrupting my integrity, I suppose, and maintaining my values. So as Darren said, it's about building your brand and communicating through content and putting helpful information out there so that the people that who need your information will find you and become your client or get on board.
Yeah, it's a real balance between what you're comfortable with yourself from an integrity perspective and also what purpose you're serving. So if you're, as a coach, I suppose, you know, inspiring people, helping people, then that has incredible rewards for you, which are non-financial. But then there's also that balance of what you're comfortable charging. And I know I go through this as with friends of mine or business people who are consultants, you know, and they come to me and they go, oh, what should my hourly rate be? And the first thing I say to them is it's got to be a rate that you can look someone in the eye and say, I charge this amount, and not lose eye contact with them, which means that you're comfortable with that rate. You feel you're worth that. So don't go out and charge, you know, exorbitant amount if you're not comfortable with that.
Yeah, it is about value. This is a value exchange. And in the health and wellness area, what price do our customers put on their own health and well-being? You know, that's what the exchange is about. So to create the value, it's about actually informing them of the benefits of what you can do,
yeah,
and for them to come to the party of, yes, that's what it's worth. I think, you know, the idea of charging or profiting from people's health is not a bad thing, because in some ways you're actually helping them enjoy life, and that is priceless.
And that's got a value on it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think health practitioners need to value them more, because I coach a number and they're not making any money. In fact, they're not paying the bills. And Jo knows many practitioners that would often say to her, I think with the expo, and we've had this discussion, they can't afford the $200 to do a stall.
So let's take that a step further. So if they're not making money, is the outcome that they will then have to close their business and stop doing what they love? Is that where you're going with that?
Okay. If you're not making money in business, you're not happy. And if that's the case, just make it a hobby.
Is this specific to health practitioners, or are you seeing this?
All businesses.
All businesses.
It's carpenters, it's tradespeople. You know, and often we sit down and do the quick math. We say, well, so how much are you making? And we do the math on it, and we divide that by the hourly rate and the amount of effort they put in, and some of them are on $15 an hour running their own business.
I'd say that these are micro businesses. And what I mean by that, they're small, medium and large.
Yeah.
Micro businesses are 1 to 2 people. And that's because they've ended up in a business where they're basically just employing themselves. And so they're becoming an employee trying to run a business. Whereas if you're an employee, someone else is responsible for getting the business, getting the money and paying you the salary. Mm. And I think that's one of the areas, because in business, you have to get to the point of being able to separate yourself from being just the practitioner into being the manager, responsible for managing the business and its sustainability and longevity, and the entrepreneur who's responsible for building it. It comes straight out of the book I mentioned earlier, The E-Myth, is one of the hard areas for a single person to be able to cover those three areas. That's why I was really interested, Ben, in your idea of the mindset that you need to bring into this business to be able to do that.
Yeah, and it's a mindset well beyond the do. It's a mindset of, who do you need to be? Do you need to be courageous? Do you need to be attractive? I mean, when I talk about attractive, it's what's inside of you. You know, are you interesting? Are you curious? Are you energetic? Are you enthusiastic? Are you passionate? Are you connected with your why, your underlying purpose? That mindset is what will drive you to get out of bed in the morning.
Okay, we hope you're enjoying eavesdropping on our interesting conversation. We'll be right back with Ben, Joe and Darren. And on the other side of this break, we are going to be talking about health retreats and day spas. You're listening to Taking Care of Business on RPPFM. It is 11:35 and we couldn't talk about the growing business of health without talking about health retreats and day spas. And one of the world leaders in the field is Mornish Peninsula's own Peninsula Hot Springs, which is a real wishing well down there in Fingal. Good morning to the new General Manager, Brooke Ramage.
Good morning, Jackie.
How long have you been there as the new GM?
Well, I've only been there 6 months. Yes, I've been up in Queensland for the last 25 years and just recently came down to to Melbourne and witnessed the winter.
Now, you're originally from Melbourne, so it shouldn't have been a big surprise.
It still was a bit of a shock, I can tell you.
That's good. Now, your background in prep for today, I did notice you have been in the, would you call it the health retreat industry? Is that what it's called?
Absolutely. I've been a pioneer in the health retreat industry. I've been running resorts for 25 years. I started Camp Eden and then I started the Golden Dawn. And then just about 5 years ago, I started another health retreat called Cabarita Ocean Health Retreat.
Where's that? I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, well, that's what, right on the beach. It's 6 acres right on the beach between Byron Bay and Tweed Heads. It's a beautiful spot.
Ah, so that's where Gaia is in Byron Bay. That's all the,
that's right.
the new ones are starting to spring up. Now, spring up, excuse the pun, pun on purpose, pun intended. What made you come back to the Peninsula Hot Springs?
Well, Charles Davidson's been a friend of mine for a long time, and I've been following his progress down there at Peninsula Hot Springs for quite a long time, since he started. And I remember 10 years ago in Rotorua, him bounding up to me with these plans as to what he was going to go, what he was going to go and do down at Fingal. And so I've followed him from that time on, and it's an incredible success story. And we're looking at joining forces and building some accommodation, doing some health programs and building a health retreat down there. So he's moving into the accommodation side of the business, and that's my expertise. So we're joining forces to do something along those lines.
Oh, that's exciting. And what's the timeline for all that happening?
Well, the timeline will be about 18 months to 2 years. We'll have about 126 rooms down there. We'll also have a section of glamping where people can come and do some of that glamorous camping.
Yes.
So there'll be different forms of accommodation. We'll have a wellness centre down there, probably a little bit of a training academy. Yeah, we've got a lot of exciting things in store.
So it is going to be a health retreat.
Look, what it'll be, what I'm planning anyway, is the weekends will be probably something called Love the Peninsula, because people will come down here. The weekends just buzz anyway. I mean, people will want to explore the area, go to the wineries, go to the beach, all those sort of things. But to bring people down midweek, I'll have the opportunity to run my health retreat programs from, say, Sunday to Friday, and we'll package in a range of different programs like women's health programs and, you know, all sorts of different detox programs. You know, programs that we can help people improve the quality of their life.
It's interesting. I have been a bit of a health retreat junkie, as I mentioned off air. I've been to Camp Eden, and now called Eden Retreat, I think, and Golden Door and a few others. And every time I get there, I get caught up in the excitement. Oh, this is fantastic. We need something like this in Melbourne, because most of the guests are from Melbourne. I found always bumping into someone you know. Yeah. And when I was been chatting with people over the years about it, they've all said, look, it's weather dependent. The weather in Melbourne does not sustain a health retreat. But I think the Peninsula Hot Springs has got over that because of the hot springs.
I think so. I think the hot springs are a great adjunct to a health retreat program. I mean, you know the benefits of bathing in geothermal hot water anyway, so that's a great addition to any kind of health program. But so long as we have the right sort of facilities so that we can run different sorts of activities and programs indoors when the weather's not suitable, we'll be fine, I think.
What are the keys to running a successful health business?
Well, the key is to provide what the customer needs. I mean, you know, if I can do anything well, it is that I understand the customer. I understand the customer's needs, and that's probably the key to it, I think.
Do you visit lots of health treats in the name of research?
I had a fabulous trip a few years ago, and I travelled right around America and around parts of Europe, and I went to a range of different health retreats. What an amazing experience it was. And I did get a few ideas, but the thing that I did discover is that we're doing it well out here. I mean, and I think that the health retreats that I put together, I think it was good that I hadn't seen many other health retreats in other parts of the world, because I created something that was really quite unique. And I went over there and I tried their retreats and I thought, well, we're doing it really well here. We really are. There's really great value in visiting a health retreat in Australia.
Now, I was going to ask you, how does Australia compare to Europe and the US? Like, excluding Australia, where are some outstanding health retreats around the world?
Well, the most outstanding health retreat for me when travelling was probably Canyon Ranch. I think it was interesting for me because I'm in the health industry. I mean, there's 900 staff there. Just put that in perspective, 900 staff. There's 250 staff in just the medical centre. So no matter what you want, what sort of treatment you want, what sort of medical advice, psychological advice, it's all there. It's just it's like a university.
Whereabouts is it?
It's in Tucson, Arizona.
Ah, okay.
Great place to visit.
Now, you said, what, 25 years you've been in the industry? Is that right?
I've been, yep, 25 years I've been in the industry.
You must have started like when you were 10. I always say that, it's all right. Now, what changes have you seen? You would have seen an enormous amount, a huge shift. We're talking about the mind shift of the, you know, going from health to wellness and preventative health now. What's been some of the biggest changes you've seen?
The biggest change I've seen was that when I first started at Camp Eden back 25 years ago, everyone who was there to lose weight. I mean,
okay,
and people very unkindly called us fat farms. And I took exception to it, of course, but it was probably true. I mean, probably 90% of people who went there to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And the trends generally follow what people need and the health results that they want to get. Nowadays, I guess people are looking more towards helping themselves deal with stress and anxiety. And so that's that mind and body assistance people need. I mean, they're looking for a break now rather than just to lose weight. That might be part of their story, but they're more looking to be able to cope a little better with their everyday life.
Oh, that's a really interesting shift, isn't it? Have you also noticed a difference in the gender side of things? Because obviously being a fat farm, being mainly women that would be going there.
No, well, it's still mainly women that are going there.
Still?
Yes.
Oh, I thought, you know, more men are embracing this.
Well, men are the better customers, I think. I mean, men are very...
Why?
men are very loyal customers, you know. If men come in, they like what they see and they like the program that they're doing, they'll always come back. I mean, they'll come back every year at the same time. They're very consistent. Whereas women will try a whole lot of different things and travel to different health retreats in different places, and they're not quite the same sort of loyal customers that men are.
That's interesting.
But generally speaking, we're still talking 75% of our customers are women.
Mm.
So, Brooke, I was really interested in the fact that you talked about mind and body because Jackie maybe unkindly said that the area of alternative and wellness is very much a hippie area. Is it moving from sort of spirituality to this broader awareness that we have as a community around the connection of health being mind and body?
Well, it's hard to say because what's happening in the health retreat game is that we're starting to specialise. There's so many of them now that we're starting to specialise between the very alternative. You can still find a very alternative style health retreat up in Queensland, or you can go to a more mainstream type of program that's run by doctors. There's medical intervention at all different stages of the process. Or you can go to places that work on that mind-body process, which is what I've always been focused on. And that is by, you know, working on helping people become more positive, more optimistic with their explanatory style, for example, and learning to cope a little bit better and working through processes that help them with that.
Mm. I was also, as a marketer, very interested in, you said what you bring to the business is this focus on what the customers want. I was wondering if you could just elaborate a little bit. How do you do that? I mean, what technique do you do to really keep in touch with what your customers are wanting?
Well, what I said before probably was that I'm very, very an average guy. And from that point of view, I know and I have all the same pressures and I have all the same sort of things to deal with as just everyday people. So for me, I understand what the person needs, what I need. And I've also got a health science background. So from that point of view, I've studied the whole area of health and physical education and understand the best possible program I can put together to achieve the result. So it's understanding the customer and also having that background in the health sciences, I think.
Brooke, okay. If the majority of customers, 75% are female, unless I've missed something and the beard's stuck on, how do you get a female insight into customers?
Well, most of our staff are female. And obviously, if you look at the staffing we have at Peninsula Hot Springs, for example, it's the same percentages. Mm. And I employ women who are the customer. Who are the age the customer are, understand the customer, and so that's where you get your best results.
How has social media impacted the business? Because that's been an enormous change. And if 75% are females and females are addicted to social media because they've stats...
Yes, is there a therapy for thumb fatigue, you know, on social
Look,
media?
Look, I don't get it, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not all over the social media and I hire people who are, but I still sit in meetings, marketing meetings, and listen to the marketing department and our social media department and I just nod my head thinking, are you kidding me? Is this how it works? I mean, we're talking talking about, say, influencers, bringing influencers in who have so many followers, you know, that whole practice that, of marketing, to me, it's hard for me to fathom that style of marketing, you know, as being, and it obviously is, it obviously works and it obviously gets results. But, you know, I guess I'm a bit of a dinosaur when it comes to the marketing side of things.
Yeah. Well, the Hot Springs, I think when I last looked, it was about 25,000 followers on their Facebook page by itself, and the engagement would be huge because they regularly post, and people are, you know, they post themselves there and they tag their friends in, and then someone else goes, oh my God, I want to go there, and it really creates that conversation and community.
Of course, because I think, you know, there's an element of being a treat, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and Brooke, you may not have heard, you know, we've just come back from 2 weeks in China. There, things like massage and therapies are part of everyday life. I mean, you don't have to go off to a retreat. They're actually in the high street, and every other shop is there to offer these sorts of things. Do you see that as would that be a positive development in a country like Australia, where most of these things are seen as, you know, a treat that you go to?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think at Peninsula Hot Springs we've got a huge responsibility there, because we have about 34,000-35,000 people a month go through our place. I mean, that's an enormous amount of people. And we've got the opportunity there to be influencers, and the opportunity to change people's perspective on health and improve the quality of their health. And it's those little messages that we can give along that way, particularly with Facebook and through social media, is very important and really valuable for the community, particularly the Mornington Peninsula community.
Yeah, that this becomes part of everyday life.
Absolutely.
Rather than a once or twice a year treat.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's our job to do, is to make sure people understand that's what it should be. You should be treating yourself and looking at things that you can do to improve your health.
Mm. Brooke, we're just going to treat our listeners now to a few really exciting commercials. Will you hang around for the panel? We've only got a little bit, 10 more minutes to go. We hope you're building up your knowledge from the best in the business world on taking care of business, exclusively on RPPFM. It is 10 minutes to 12. Healthy mind, body and soul are all attractive hooks to change your life, as we discuss the business of health. And we have in the studio our special guest, Brooke Ramage from Peninsula Hot Springs, Joe Shutt and Ben Carvosso from the Peninsula Health and Sustainability Expo, and of course my special co-host, Darren Woolley. Darren, you and I are going to be on stage soon, aren't we?
Absolutely.
Sharing
live
our knowledge.
On stage.
Live on stage. We're taking the radio show out of the studio to Mornington Racecourse on Thursday, the 12th of November, for a business breakfast, part of the Frankston and Mornington Peninsula Business Breakfast Series. There'll be myself, there'll be Darren Woolley, not Daryl, what do I call you? Daryl
Woodley.
Woodley or something. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Darren Woolley, our marketing thought leader. Warwick Merry, who's a regular on the show, our master of sales. Toby Travenar, technology and people strategist. Jessica Humphreys, our social media specialist. And Alex Jamison, our finance expert. Now, it will be an interactive 1 hour session, so you can actually send some questions in. And I know that Joe Shutt has already sent a question in. You'll be there, Joe, aren't you?
Yes, we'll have a Bloom Networking sponsorship table.
Excellent. I love
Very
that.
Excited.
And you can also ask questions during the hour via text, or you can stand up and yell out and do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, I'm a bit conflicted here because with that panel, I'd like to be in the audience to ask questions of the other panel members.
Well, so you still could.
Yeah, but that would require me being in two places at one time.
Oh, you could do that. You can do anything. You can Fair do anything. Enough. So Thursday, 12th of November, there are still some tickets left. They are selling quickly, though. People tend to do it last minute, so don't leave it to the last minute. Only $60 a ticket, or a sponsorship table of $600. Go to FMP Brekkie. It's FMPBrekky.com.au and secure your tickets. It's the last business breakfast of the year. It should be good fun, Darren Woolley, shouldn't it?
I'm looking forward to it.
So am I, very much. And the expo we're looking forward to. Joe, can you remind us a bit again when that's going to be on this Sunday?
This Sunday.
Also at Mornington Racecourse.
At the Mornington Racecourse, exactly.
Busy
there. Yes.
Busy there.
It's a very versatile venue.
It is. And Peninsula Hot Springs are a sponsor.
They're a silver sponsor, exactly. So they'll be talking about the happiness retreat that's coming up at the Hot Springs. We have a big range of exhibitors doing demos. We've got a mineral makeup demo, laughing yoga. Lisa from Physical Best is doing a body art session. The D-Step dance crew's doing some hip-hop, and kids can get involved. healthy cooking demo, and of course the mindfulness tent. And I just wanted to, we've spoken about health going from, or holistic health going from the hippie to hippie and spiritual to the kind of mainstream. And I think mindfulness is a really big key word, which is also talking about, you know, with the
Absolutely. Mindfulness has become such a big issue within business. Mm. It's interesting, you know, not that long ago you'd talk about meditation and business people would, you know, screw up their nose at you like you were some idiot. Now there's people running mindfulness sessions within large organisations because it's proven to increase performance.
Absolutely. And I think we get so caught up in the busyness and the doing and really forget to kind of do it mindfully and think about what we're actually doing.
Ben, with your role as a mindset coach and a chiropractor, I wanted to ask you just quickly as we're coming up to the end of the show, is there has been a shift from chiropractor sort of old school practitioner. There's now osteopaths and there's kinesiologists and of course the physio as well. There's all in myotherapy, Feldenkrais. There's all these different elements now. So how has that affected the more traditional practitioners like your chiropractors and your physios?
In some aspects, it has affected us. I think one of the important things for practitioners is to niche, is to put a stake in the sand and this is what I'm going to do in practice and just do that. Mm. One of the things I encourage practitioners to do is be a kinesiologist and just do that. Don't do massage as well and don't do vitamins as well and don't do all the other things. Just be really good at what you do.
To focus.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really good. I'd like to thank our special guest today, Bren Carvasso. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, very pleasure. Much.
So will you be there on Sunday?
I might come and just drop in. I've got a big birthday party Saturday night. So.
Oh, your birthday?
Yes.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
Very, very nice. Very exciting. Well, thanks very much for coming in and good luck, Peninsula United Chiropractors, and your mindset. What's your business called? The mindset business?
It's the On Button.
The On Button.
The On Button.
O-N Button. The On. And where can people find you?
They can go to www.theonbutton.com.au.
The On Button.
Yes.
Okay, sounds
good. To get turned on.
Yeah, sounds good. Joe Shutt, as always, a pleasure. Good luck on Sunday.
Thank you, Jackie.
I'm sure it's a huge success. What time does it start? It
starts at 10 and we run through till 4, but the Peninsula Chiropractors United will be there doing spinal checks and things like that. But I also want to just say a really big thank you to RWP because you guys will be there doing a live broadcast from the event, which is really exciting. But also our fantastic supporters, so thank you.
Yeah, they're good here. That's why I keep coming back. It's a nice place to be. Brooke Ramage, thanks very much for coming in. Have you been in the studio before, been into the radio station before?
Oh, I've been in here once before. I spoke to, is it Debbie?
Yeah, I spoke to Debbie. Well, we'll have to get you in a bit more regularly, I think, with your, you've got a bit of a radio background, we found out. You shouldn't have told us that. So we're going to get Brooke in and we wish you all the very best. We don't need to wish you the best. It will be a great success. I look forward to seeing how it's all going to unfold. Very exciting, very exciting.
Thank you, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
Always good. Darren Woolley, of course.
Thanks, Jackie.
I love having you in the studio.
I need to have a sleep now. It was a very late night last night.
Yeah, just got back from China. And no, I don't say sorry.
Off to London in a week's time, so that'll be fun.
Oh, good. You'll do a video for our breakfast, 12th of November. We hope you've heard lots of advice and inspiration today. Don't forget, you can see Taking Care of Business on Sky Business News. We're on next Tuesday at 2:30, so series link it. Join the discussion. We're on Facebook and Twitter as well. Keep ahead of the game and trends in your business and join us on Thursday, the 12th of November. In the meantime, let's rock your body into this weekend. We look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. In the meantime, keep taking care of your business.